Okay. So, the idea is that the Medrash says the following. What the Medrash says is the following. That when Shlomo HaMelech first became king, he was known as by Yechka Mikola Adam. He was smarter than any other person who would ever live. He was smarter than any other person around. Now, says the Gemara, he was able to judge every case. Says the Midrashim, you know what kind of a case he was able to judge? There was the Ashmada, king of the demons, came up to Shlomo Malach and said to him, hey, do you want to see something you've never seen before? And Shlomo Malach said, sure, why not? So he said to him, okay, listen, I'm going to show you something that nobody in this world was seeing. And he pulled up underneath the earth, whatever that means, a guy with two full heads. And he brought him in front of Shlomo Malach. Shlomo Malach was shocked to see him, and immediately said, what in the world? And he called over Benayo ben Yoyada. Benayo ben Yoyada went and saw the guy and immediately made the bracha, Bruchat Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Meshana Habrios. It's such strange creatures within this world, such strange creatures inside this world. He said to him, how could this person live? They said to him, what world do you come from? He said, I come from a different world where the sun rises in the west and it sets in the east. He asked him, what are you daven? He said, I make a certain bracha every day. I say, he davens every day, Morabu Ma'asecha Kulam Bachok Ma'asisa, how wondrous are your acts, O God. Everything is done with wisdom. Everything you do is done with wisdom. Tremendous things, one after the other. He kept telling him all these things. And he said afterward, what do you do in your world? He said, we plant, we plow, we do everything that you guys do. Did the same exact thing. So he said, do you want to go back to your world? He said, yeah. They called over Ashmada, king of the demons, and they said to him, okay, bring this guy back. Ashmada said, oh, no. I can take, but I can't put back. I can't put back inside there. So I'm sorry, there's nothing else I can do. I can't bring the guy back inside there. So Shlomo Malach says to him, okay, you're going to have to live here. I'll give you land. He gave him some land. He gave him some places to be. And he gave him food and money and whatever it is. And the guy ended up being a very successful businessman. He ended up getting married, and he had seven kids. Six of them had one head. The seventh one had two heads. So when it came to dividing up the guy's inheritance at the end of his life, after he passed away, all the one-headed guys said, we're seven kids altogether. But the two-headed guy said, I counted two, because I have two different heads. So I should get a double Yerusha, I should get a double inheritance. So they went to Shlomo Melech. Shlomo Melech said, I don't know. I have absolutely no idea. What am I supposed to do? So he went that night to the Beis HaMikdash, and he davened to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and he asked the Kaddish Baruch Hu for help. The next morning he came and put a blanket over one of the heads, and then he took hot water and he started spritzing it in the face of the second head. And both of them screamed out of pain. And once he heard both of them scream out of pain, he said, you guys are connected with one another. If you're both screaming out of pain, it means that you guys are connected with one another. It's all considered one body. You're considered one person. And that's it. There's nothing to talk about. You're considered one person. And everybody was mispoil over the chachma of Shlomo Melech. That's the Medrash that's brought down from that Tosas of Menachos. See, it's a little bit strange because that is the Tosas. That is the Medrash. Shalos v'tshuvas Shlis Yaakov paskins that you should make a Meshana Habrios if you would see a person with two actual heads. And it is brought down from the Maisa Tuvia about he heard. Maisa Tuvia is Tuvia Rofi. We've quoted him before, where he heard about a very, very stupid dayan, a very stupid judge, not Jewish, who a person came up to them. There were Siamese twins. There was two women. And one of the women wanted to get married. The other woman said, I don't want her to get married because I'm going to have to be there and I don't want to be around the entire time. But the judge paskined, okay, let's see who can pull who. Everybody tried to pull the other one. Each woman tried to pull to the one side, and one side won. The one that wanted to get married was able to pull her sister that way, because she was the more dominant one of the two twins. So the judge paskined, she's the real one, you're just a nobody, you're like a monkey, so you don't count as anything, so she's allowed to get married. They got married. The other sister passed away out of embarrassment, and she ended up rotting her sister's body so that both of them died within the next month. So that's what the Maisa Tuvia says. It's brought down from over there. Shlomo Yaakov says, in kol chadesh tachas ha-shemesh. There's nothing new under the sun. This is a whole din of Siamese twins. There have been Siamese twins before. The very first two was by Adam. Because when Adam Rishon was first born, he was born du partsufin, with two different faces, with two different parts to his body. He was born that way to be able to be doubly a person, a double person. And because there was such a concept of Siamese twins in the world, thus it kept going to there were Siamese twins even then. Okay, that's the idea behind all that. I just want to say that there's a bit of a machlokus whether or not what we were talking about in Tosas is Siamese twins or is it just a creature. Obviously, if Ashmada had to pull it out from in between the earth or underneath the earth, that's not exactly a person that lives on earth. And if he was saying that the sun rises in the west and sets in the east, we're obviously talking about somebody else entirely. This is not a normal situation. But it is brought down that way. It is brought down that way, yeah.
Wouldn't somebody with two heads technically, I guess, have two neshamas?
No. It depends on what you consider. Where does the neshama come from? Does the neshama come from the moach or from the lave, or is it a combination of the two? So that's already, that's exactly what Shlomo Melech was passing. And according to Shlomo Melech's psak, no, it was considered like one. All right, there's another thing over here. When it mentions the... yes, that's how the Shal Shvus Yaakov Paskins, Shvus Yitzchak, I'm sorry, but it, Beis Yitzchak, I'm sorry, he Paskins that you would. However, it depends on how used to it you are. If you would see them in the street, you'd just be like, oh, hey, twins, and you just go up to them and you'd be fine with that, then you wouldn't make a Shana Brias. But if you would be so shocked by it, then you'd be like, wow, and you'd stare at it, without meaning to stare, obviously, but you would stare, and that's already a different story.
They got, a black janitor for the first time. They'd never seen a black person before. All the students came out and made him a Shana Brios because they'd never seen black.
Wow, I got that on tape. That's great. We have to skim out of that. All right.
It's true.
Delete that last part.
Yeah, I don't know. Just ignore that. That was just, I don't know who just said that. All right, let's go. But there was. We quote down from the end. We're going to have the Chassam Sofer quotes down for Pasuk Yedal. It says, look good. The Nasi for Ben Egad. The Nasi for Ben Egad for Shevet Gad was El Yosef Ben Duel. A guy by the name of El Yosef Ben Duel. Now, the funny thing about El Yosef Ben Duel is that that's not his name later on. When he's quoted later on in the Parsha, Beis Yudalid, in Perek Beis Pasuk Yudalid, it says, Mate God ben Nasi Livne God El Yosef ben Reuel. It's Reuel with a Reish. What's his name? Is it Duel or Reuel? So there are the Moshe Zakenum says that's the way of the Chumash. Sometimes Dalids are exchanged for Reishes. So it's very possible that it's true, you know, that it could be that it really refers to the exact same person and it's not a problem whatsoever. But the Chassam Sofer says an awesome, awesome board. We know that each Sheva was split up into different parts, right? Yehuda was with who? Yehuda was with
Binyamin.
Oh my God, that's what it's called. Yehuda was with who? Binyamin. Who was with Yehuda? Yisachar and Zebulun. Ephraim, Menashe, and Binyamin. Dan, Naphtali, and Asher. And with Reuven was Shimon and Gad. Shimon was in the middle. Reuven was the head of the whole troop, and Gad was at the end. Why was Reuven and Gad put in with Shimon? Why was Reuven and Gad put in with Shimon? So the Chassam Sofer says an idea. He says that every shevet was molded. They gave birth within to their kids, into their kids, different types of teva, different types of natures within them, so that their kids would grow up having that nature. Shimon is a tremendous tzaddik, and he was moser nefesh to save a girl who was raped. Dina, who's raped by a guy. He was moser nefesh to be able to save that girl. That's true. But he's moser nefesh on it. That means that all the kids should have a tremendous kanos, a tremendous hatred toward such types of idea of being together with Goyim. Of being together with Goyim, of marrying Goyim, or being together with them in any way, shape, or form. Because if Shimon did that, he hated the fact that Shechem had taken his daughter, his sister Dina. If Shimon had that, and he gave that to his kids, that means his kids should have that within them, that they have to absolutely, they can't stand when they see something like that. But that also means, because they're such big tzaddikim, what goes to big tzaddikim? Big tzaddikim not only have a tremendous big tzaddikim, but they also have a tremendous Yetzer Hara, which means their Yetzer Hara is going to be doubly as big for this one issue. And the Satan can really get them. If he's able to start working on them, Satan's really able to get them and be able to fail when it comes to this issue, even though there's such tzaddikim regarding this. That means their Yetzer Hara is twice as big. So they're going to go ahead and they can get messed over for that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did is he, before that ever happened, remember, when did Shittim happen? When did they start sinning with all those women? That was only in the 40th year of the desert. It took them 40 years to come to that point. Because up until that point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put with them two unbelievable people. Reuven and Gad. Reuven is the Baal Tshuva, the one who did a chait, Bilbul Yitzui Aviv, mixed up his father's bed, put it in the wrong place. And because of that, he had to do tshuva for the rest of his life, fasting for the rest of his life. And Gad, who is known as the Gibor. Gad is known as the Gibor. Some say that on his flag, there was a lion. I realize sometimes you see, like, you see different things on these, on the little flags and in the windows and shoals and everything. But on Gad was supposed to be a lovey, a smaller lion. Not exactly like a Yehuda, but he's still, he was Zroa, what is it? Hika Zroa Afkad Kod, that he hit the arms when he was in war. Nobody wanted to go anywhere near Gad. And that's why Bnei Gad asked for land outside of Eretz Yisrael, because they knew how strong they were. They knew how brave they were. And Shevet Gad knew their place was supposed to be outside of Eretz Yisrael. Outside of Eretz Yisrael to be able to protect Bnei Yisrael from everything. So because of that, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did is he put Reuven by him on the outside, and he put Gad right next to him to show Shimon at all times, you got a Baal Tshuva right next to you. Look what happens to you. You're going to have to do Tshuva for the rest of your life. And we have Gad right next to you. Be a Gibor. Ezu Gibor, a Yaakov is Yitzchak. Who's a Gibor? Who's a strong man? A guy who's able to conquer his Yitzchak and be able to knock it down. You, Shimon, have a tremendous Yitzchak about one thing. Watch yourselves, because that's going to be your test. The Satan's going to try to get you. It's going to be about this Inyan. So watch out. No matter what you do, be careful. Make sure it doesn't go anywhere near you. That Shevet of Gad had a Nasi. That Nasi was known as, his name was Ben De'uel. His actual name was Ben Deuel. That was his real name. And that's what we said, Legud El Yosef Ben Deuel. But what it was changed to show Reuven what they were doing, when he talked about the actual Degel and putting everyone together, we changed it to Reuel, to show them that you have to be Matar your thoughts. Reuel is the thoughts about God. Raya is called a thought. What Reuel was all about, what this guy, El Yosef Ben Reuel, was all about, is being Matar your thoughts. Going up to people and trying to be Matar your thoughts, to bring us back to the very beginning of the year when we talked about you learning Tehillim and making yourself like a midbar. That's what El Yosef Ben Reuel was all about. And thus, El Yosef, God will give you more and more and more if you keep doing that. That as long as you keep your thoughts taller to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you keep doing only the best things for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will add on more and more and more and do more and more for you, so that all your thoughts will be purely for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and everything's going to be okay. And yet, nonetheless, what happened to Shevet Shimon? They messed up. You see how big the Yitzhar is. You see how big that Yitzhar is. Never, ever think to yourself, well, I'm okay. I got this great neighbor. I got this Talmud Chacham who's always with me. I've got all these people who are always going to be around me. I don't have to worry about sinning. I'll be okay. And come on, my father, my great-grandfather, he did this sort of a thing. He was able to get over it. I'll for sure be able to get over it. Never think that way. Because you see that Shimon had all the precautions, took every precaution in the world, and yet still his kids sinned at Shittim. Not only some of them, all of them had problems with Shittim. His Nasi, Zimri, I mean, the Shlumiel Ben Suri Shadog, listen to that name. Shlumiel, complete or peace of God, Ben Suri Shadoi, the son of God slash God. It's just the greatest name ever. You couldn't think of a better name. It's just like, you might as well call me God, 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 God. That's basically what they're calling him. That could be the greatest. How in the world could this guy have messed up? Yet he became Zimri. Mar on the inside, bitter on the inside. Absolutely bitter on the outside. And in the inside and on the outside, Zayin Yud, which is the gematria of Zvuv, a fly in the outside. A piece of garbage. A piece of garbage. That's what we have over here. That even though they had El Yosef Ben Reuel, even though they had Gad, and even though they had Shimon, they still messed up. Okay, because they didn't do their full job, you should just know, it's interesting, Reuven didn't do their full job, they needed a big kapara. Gad not so much. Gad did everything he could do. And it was only El Yosef Ben Reuel that was trying to be matar of their thoughts. And it worked for quite a while. Because Reuven didn't do everything they did, they needed a kapara. Thus their kapara is, remember that word legul galosam that we mentioned at the very beginning? It comes back twice. When it goes through all the degulim, it mentions only twice among all the degulim, this word, it says legul galosam. Only by Reuven, it says b'mispar shemos legul galosam. And then by Shimon, it says b'mispar shemos legul galosam. By all the others that I mentioned, all the other 10 shvatim, it doesn't mention that word legul galosam. Says the Chassam Sofer, an unbelievable thing. Rav Shach used to say, whenever he used to walk by Ramat Gan, I also heard the story about the Chazon Ish. I'm sure it could have happened twice, because it's a very, very popular story, and it's a very, very smart idea. Rav Shach used to go around, and whenever he had a Talmud with him, and a Talmud would say, see something going on in Ramat Gan, which is a very not-from neighborhood, which is right on the other side of the street of Bnei Brak. Whenever they saw somebody doing something not right, or a woman not dressed sneezily, or whatever it was, the Talmud who was with them would always go like, oh, as if blaming it on them. And Rav Shach slash the Chazon Ish always used to say to them, if we were what we were supposed to be, they wouldn't be like that. Because if they saw how great we really are and what we're really supposed to do, there's no way they would be able to do anything as bad as that. Because they would see the truth behind the Torah. Because we're not perfect, they're not perfect. So blame it on yourself, don't blame it on them. Don't say they're doing something wrong, think that you're doing something wrong. Reuven took all the brunt of this to himself. And he added on this word, legul galosam, by him and by Shimon, because both of them needed a pure kapara. And that legul galosam brought them back to be able to bring them higher and higher. Every word in the Torah that's added on for you, or for that shevet, when it's specifically talking about that shevet, it's supposed to bring you higher and higher up in Shemayim. That word, legul galosam, brought Reuven up higher and higher, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew they would need it, because they were going to fail. They were going to fail in that one test to try to be able to tell Bnei Yisrael what they're going to do. Shimon needed obviously more help. So they added on another word by Shimon, the word Pekudav. If you check out all these Shvatim going all the way through from Pasuk Chaf all the way to the end of the Parak, each one of them says the exact same words, except for Legul Galosam and Reuven and Shimon. and Pekudav by Shimon. It adds on the word Pekudav, which is totally unnecessary. And by everything else, everything is the exact same thing, except for Shemos, there's Vavs by five of them, and not no Vavs by seven of them. You guys can check that up and look it up and find an answer for me. There's three answers. If you can find an answer, I'll be very impressed. Okay, that's number one. Each number represented what the Shevet stood for. So there's crazy things about this number. Every Shevet had a certain number that each person had, which is absolutely unbelievable. For example, Reuven had 46,500 people. So let's just go into the number. 46 is what letters in Hebrew? Membov. 500 is what gematria in Hebrew? Take the mitzvah, the osios, the letters at the very end. After tough also comes memsofis, nunsofis, pesofis, sadi, I'm sorry, memsofis, nunsofis, what else is there? Pesofis, sadisofis, and chosofis. I'm sorry, there's chosofis, memsofis, and etc. etc. However, it goes as menatspach. Menatspach is memsofis, nunsofis, sadisofis, pay, and then chaf. And it goes in that order. So mem is 500. As tough as 400, the mem goes on to 500. The nun goes to 600, etc., etc. So by Reuven, you have 46 is membov. The 500, because it's menatspach. That's how you spell it. It's called menatspach. That's how it's called osios gedolos. It's different types of, whatever. Yeah, it's a little menatspach. You just call it that way. So 500 days what? A mem sofis. That's mum. Because Reuven was the one who had the mum, who had the blemish. And he ended up doing tshuva for it. So the whole number that he had represented that. Shimon says Rabbeinu Bechaya was 59,300. So here we go. 59 is what? Nun test. 300 is?
Shin.
Sin. It's a satan. Sin test nun. So it's a satan for Shimon, that Shimon was full of the satan. And also the satan is Sin Gamash Shitim. That their whole purpose in life was to fight the satan, was to go up against the satan, to fight all the tumah that there was within the satan. That was his whole purpose in life. Levi had 10,000. I know it counted as 22,000, but that includes the kids that were over a month old and going up like that. The people that were from 20 to 60 was 10,000 for a yud to show that they were the pure Jews. The pure Jews who worked for a Kaddish Baruch Hu did nothing else but work for a Kaddish Baruch Hu and did nothing else. Yehuda was 74,600. 74 is Ayin Dalet. Nun Sofis is 600. Thus we have Aden. And that's for Gan Eden, which is the idea of Mashiach, when Mashiach comes, that the whole idea of Ayin Yehuda is to eventually bring us into Gan Eden, to bring us into Gan Eden. Yisachar is 54,000. 54 is?
Nundal,
which is done. They were able to be done, Yisrael. Zvulun is 57,000. 57 is?
Nundzan.
Zan. They gave Parnasa. They were Mezane. They give the Parnasa over to Yisachar.
Bad thing?
No, well, Mezane is a bad thing. Mazon. They gave Mazon over to Bnei Yisrael. That's what you would call, I think that's what you would call a Freudian slip. Yeah, I think so. And both of them had another 400, says the Tamim and Hagim, in order to fight the Kochos Atumah, which is 400. They add on 400 to both of them. Binyamin is 35,400. 354 is Shin Nun Dalet. Because all 354 days of the year, Binyamin was able to work on himself and be Matar himself. Like Binyamin died without a chait. They were able to work on themselves to the point where they had absolutely no chait. Done with 62,700. Ramatizio Solomon says 627 is the Rashi tables of every Shevet. Reuven has Reish. Shimon is Shin. Keep going. Levi is Lamed. Yehuda is Yud. Yisachar is Yud. Zvulun is Zion. Don is Dalet. Naphtali is Nun. Gad is Gimel. Asher is Aleph. Yosef is Yud. Binyamin is Beis. Put that all together. You gotta trust me on this one. 627. Why 627? Because Don is the Maasev. He is the gatherer, the last one in all the Machnos, who gathers in together everything that Bnei Yisrael lost. He gathers everything together and puts everything together. So he's that. I don't have any others. I have right now, I only have 8. I can't get more than that. After right now, I don't understand Usher. I don't understand Naphtali. I don't even understand what their tachlis in life was. Usher was to have beautiful daughters, apparently, which I never really understood. But Usher, Naphtali, yeah, you'd say, like, what's wrong? Yeah, this should be perfectly fine. Yeah, find them and Asher. I can't figure those out. But we will get them eventually. We're going to get them all out. But the Rashmi Bells point out the most unbelievable thing. Nobody hit under the number of 50. Nobody had under the number of 50. And 50 was only by God. 50 was only by God. Nobody else had that number of 50. Everybody else had at least 100. There was no such thing as, like, individuals. Why not? Why wasn't there? So you could say it's rounded off. It's rounded off. Yeah, they rounded up. They rounded down. They gave a basic number. Yeah, 57,300. That's good enough. You could say that. Says the Rashmi Bells, the Sarmi Bells, the very first Bells of Rebbe. No. Never think that way. Don't think that we're ever rounding up. The pshat is each one was bedavka to show Bnei Yisrael that you're not alone. You're always connected with another Jew. There's another Jew who's just like you. And not only that, not only two Jews. There's 99 other Jews like you. There's at least least another 99. By God, it's only 49. Sorry. But if, by everybody else, it's 99 Jews that are just like you. You're all together as one. Be together as one. All join in together and everything should be okay. Everything should be okay. And all their degulim, it's crazy. All their numbers were all equal in each degel, meaning the double three, you have Yehuda, Yisachar and Zvulun, Ephraim, Menashe, and Ephraim, Menashe, and Binyamin, Reuven, Shimon, and Gad, and then Dan, Naphtali, and Asher. All of them had a certain number all together with all the numbers of everybody all together. You know what comes out in the end? All four equals up to the four machanos of the Shechina that surround the Kisei HaKavod. It's an unbelievable thing. Around the Kisei HaKavod, around the chariot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Shemayim, there are four malachim. Gabriel, Michael, Raphael, and Uriel, who's also known as Nuriel. All those four, Gabriel, Michael, Raphael, and Uriel, are the Rashi tables of Gimel Mem Reish Aleph, which Chassam Sofer says that's the reason why we learn Gemara. Because you want to learn Gemara, which is the Rashi tables of those four malachim, it surrounds you with those malachim. Gabriel's on one side, Raphael's on one side, Michael's on the other side, Uriel's on the other side, and it protects you from all bad things that could happen to you. It's supposed to be a protection. That's why we learn Gemara over anything else. Those Machanos HaShechina all had a certain number of malachim with them. Gabriel was in charge of a certain number. Michal was in charge of a certain number. Raphael and Uriel in charge of certain numbers. Those numbers equaled up to the amount of people that were in Bnei Yisrael. Each one of them equaled up to all those numbers that were all together. Each one of them had that thing. And each degel and each flag, we're not going to go into the flags tonight. And Yehuda had an Aryeh. Ephraim had a Shor. Reuven had an Adam, a picture of an Adam for Baal Tshuva. And Dan had a Nesher. Although some say that Dan had a Nachash. I'll tell you the craziest message in the world in a second. But Dan might have had a Nesher. Those four things, the Nesher, the Shor, the Adam, and the Aryeh, what are they? Those are the four pictures that are on each side of the Kisei HaKavod. Each one represented a certain side of that Kisei HaKavod. Each one had their own thing that they were supposed to be. And that's the right, this is not just Stam. Oh, let's split them up. Let's put them into little piles. We'll put them there. We'll put them there. We'll put them there. You think the Makalel had a good Taina? I could be anywhere, said the cursor guy. The cursor guy came along and said, I can do whatever I want. I can sit in this machna. I can be in that machna. I can do whatever I want. God doesn't care if I'm sitting over here, if I'm over here. He really doesn't care. Chazal Baruch Hu says, what are you talking about? I care tremendously. You're supposed to represent my malachim on earth. You guys are representing malachim. You think that could just be Stam? You think I could just put you anywhere? I can't just put you anywhere. You're in special places for good reasons. Stay where you are. Don't go where you're not supposed to go. You want to know where you're supposed to go? Ask me. But don't just go wherever you think you should go. Go specifically in this place. Now about the Nesher, everybody asks, isn't it a Nachash? I read a Yalkut David. It says, because Dan is the Maaseh, as we said before, he's the gatherer, the guy who goes around Bnei Yisrael, is the last guy altogether. A Nesher, an eagle, always flies around its nest. Always goes around its nest, protecting its young ones from everything that's there. That's what Dan was like. Dan was the guy who surrounded everyone, being the Maaseh, gathering everyone together, and that's all there. But however, since we have Nachash and Nesher, the notes of the Baal Torim says... Okay, not a problem. But there's what's called... what the note to the Baal Torim says is that Efsher, the picture of this eagle was not just an eagle. It had the body of a snake, but it had huge, massive wings. So this is brought down by Greek mythology. I forgot what the name was, but it is brought down by Greek mythology. There is such a thing. But there was a Nachash with a massive Nesher, and they say that Nesher, the word Nesher is eagle, or I know if you check up Slifkin's book, I think it's going to be like a vulture or something like that. I don't care, it's eagle. So either way, regardless, Nesher, if you look it up, means Nashach Shvifon Rochev. That if you guys know the bracha that Naphtali got, Dan got regarding Shimshon, was that he was a Nachash Alei Derech, and he was a Shvifon that bit the rider on top of a donkey. So that's Nashach Shvifon Rochev, that the snake bit the rider. That's the whole idea of Anna Nesher, and the Nesher was the one who was the Maaseh, he took care of everything. Alright, that's that. I'm going to tell you guys one more board over here. Bnei Levi. I love this board, and I'm telling you, I've not gotten a good answer. I made up an answer for this. I thought it's an okay answer, but every year I have this problem. I go over here, and I go crazy every single time. Just raise your hands right now. How many people here are before? How many do we have over here? There's only four of us? There's four right now. How many people are here right now? Like 20? Let's say 4 out of 20. So what percentage-wise is that?
20%.
We got 20% altogether, right? Keep that in mind over here. 20%. That means 1 out of every 5 people are a Bechor in this room right now. Just around us right now, it's 1 out of every 5. Check out what he says over here. They ask a question. Why did Bnei Levi have so little people? Only 10 times. Not little as in that. Why do they only have 10,000 people? Why do they only have 22,000 from age 1 month and up of men? 10,000 people between the engagements of 20 and 60? Why in the world did they have so little people? So Or HaChaim says three answers, and he rejects all three. He says, number one, because they weren't afflicted in Mitzrayim. They didn't work, and we know that the only reason why came Yanim and came Yerba, that's in Yifros. If they work, then they're going to be afflicted and everything's going to be all bad. So because they got no Enoi, then they got no Bracha. And therefore, they didn't have a Bracha to have a lot of kids. The problem is that there's a Medrash at the end of, at the beginning of Parshas Vayechi, that Yaakov Inu saw 600,000 or 300,000 of his own children. Now that's a lot. He only lived for 17 years in Mitzrayim. They went from 70 to 300,000 or 600,000 in 17 years. You can't tell me that the bracha was dependent on work, because they didn't work in the times of Yaakov Inu. So how's that possible? How's that possible? That's the question number one that he asked. Number two, they say Kizi was cursed by Yaakov. Levi was cursed by Yaakov, therefore he didn't have big numbers. The problem is Shimon was also cursed. Reuven also didn't get a bracha. So why in the world did they have big numbers? And Shimon had a huge amount. He had like 59,300. Number three, because they carried the Aron Kodesh. Because they carried the Aron Kodesh, they kept dying. There was just a lot of people that kept dying. Now that's a terrible thing. I do agree. That's an absolute terrible thing. But you understand that as being that, that's why it's so little? That's why there's so little people there? Because they all carried the Aron Kodesh?
Wait.
So many people died from touching the Aron Kodesh?
Wait, but
seems
before,
a little strange.
Before they didn't have a lot of...
They didn't have a lot before also, right? Yeah, and there was no Aron Kodesh before, 100%. Number four, he says, and this is his best answer. This is the answer that he does not reject. They were all Hasidim like Ben Azza. Proof from Amram. How many kids did Amram have?
Three.
He had he had Miriam, then he had Aaron, and he was willing to divorce his wife. And the Gemara in Sota, at the end of the first parak, he was willing to say to his wife, I'm done. I don't want to give birth to any more kids. I'm done with Puruvu. I'm done. And he wanted to say, because of all the gezeiros that are happening in Mitzrayim, I don't want to have any more kids. And then Miriam said to him, no, you're killing everyone. Don't go back to your wife. Miriam, his own daughter, said that. He went back to his wife and he gave birth to one other child. And that's it. They just had three. To be Yotzei Zayinol Beis Hillel. Levi Shittis Rebbe Yehuda. He was Yotzei Beis Hillel. They have two boys and a girl. He was Yotzei that Indian of Puruvu. He was Yotzei that Indian of Puruvu. Just, but I don't understand. He didn't have more kids. He just had three. I thought they'd give birth to six kids at a time. Says the Or HaChaim, they were all Ben Azais. They didn't want to be with their wives. They were so into learning Torah. They stayed away from their wives all the time. They gave birth to very few kids, and that's how they lived their lives. They gave birth to just a couple kids, and then they separated from their wives for the rest of their lives. That rhymes, and I didn't even mean to do that. So they separated for the rest of their lives. Now that's a crazy thing that seems to us, but these people are on the level they were able to do it, and everything was all good. They're on the level to be able to separate from their wives and to be perfectly fine people. That's an unbelievable thing. So I got a ha'ara now. Now I have a real ha'ara. And it's seemingly nothing to do with this, but I'll show you why it does. How many bechors were there in all of Klal Yisrael? The Pasuk says,
20%.
Out of all the people in Klal Yisrael, let's assume there are 600,000 people between the ages of 20 and 60. That's not including under 20 and over 60. So let's multiply that by 3 at least. At least by 3. You get to 1.8 million men, and there are probably 1.8 million women. Assume that, right? Out of 1.8 million men, there were 22,273 bechors.
What?
22,273 bechors. And these bechors were counted even from a month up.
Male
bechors. So 22,273 bechors of a total of 1.8 million men. Anybody want to do a quick math problem? 1.8 million divided by 22,273? I'm just going to tell you right now. One out of every 83 people were a bechor. I just pointed out in this room right now, right around us, how many people, how many bechors are there? One out of every 5 versus one out of every 83. 83, that's ridiculous. You think, okay, maybe that's an isolated incident. Maybe that's just been a Yisrael. You think, okay, maybe they had huge families. A lot of them died when they were in Mitzrayim. You have to assume that a lot of them had huge families. However, what would you say about Levi? Oh, there could be a lot of women bechors. Yeah, there could be a lot of women bechors. But I'm not even counting those within my... Out of 1.8 million men, still you only had one out of every 83 that were bechors. If you add in women...
No women.
So how many women bechors were there that would make up for all that number? So that's number one. That's the first question. The second question is, okay, we just explained that Shevet Levi had very few children, right? That means that families were much smaller. Families were much smaller. Altogether, there were 22,000 Levium from 1 month and up. How many Bechors were there?
22,000.
No. There are 22,000 people. 22,000 people. How many Bechors were there? There were... What?
22,000.
No. That's all Bnei Yisrael. How many Bechors of the Levium? There were 300 Bechors of all the 22,000 Levium. 300 out of 22,000 is one out of every 74. So even if you want to say by Bnei Yisrael, they just had massive families and they had 83 kids per her family, whatever it is. I'm sorry? Pretty much. Pretty much. Or there were a lot of Bakors that died, or there were a lot of women that were Bakors. I mean, Amram did have a Bakor that was a woman. So you did have such an idea. But still, one out of every 74 out of the Levim who had small families. How is that Shaykh? How can you possibly say, by Bnei Israel, maybe you can say they all died. But by Bnei Levi, it still doesn't make any sense. One out of 74 people was a Bakor? How could that be? Funnily enough, I find this extremely strange. What? 22,300 people altogether. 300 Bakors. So hold on, before you say anything, I just want to point out, I've looked up quite a few Sfarim about this. There's not one Sefer that I've seen that's answered this question or even asked the question. Nobody brings this up. Nobody brings up this question. Nobody answers the question. They don't bring it up anymore. Which is the strangest thing to me, because this seems to be one of the most obvious questions in the world. How in the world are there so few Bechorim for such a massive amount of Klal Yisrael? So I don't have a good answer for this. So even if you say, so I said, by Bnei Yisrael, that'll make sense. But even if you want to say that for Bnei Yisrael, by Bnei Levi, you can't say that. Because by Bnei Levi, we just explained. Why did they have so little numbers? Because they had small families. So if they had small families, you'd think there'd be more Bechors. But there's not. I'm sorry?
C-sections.
So you have to say, or there were so many Bechors that were women. But it's just, that's a Pellet, isn't it? It seems to be a big Pellet that so many Bechors were women. That's just a very, very strange thing. Why is that so? Why was that so? To that, I have two answers. I do have two answers. I made them up on my own. I did ask somebody about them, and he said, eh. He said, they're eh. They're not great. I'll admit to you, they're not great. But I've never seen the questions anywhere around. So number one is because these were the only ones who were fitting to be real Bechors who could serve in the Beis HaMikdash. There were other Bechors out there, but they weren't fitting to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. These 22,273 weren't, these were the guys who were Roy to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. All the others who might have been Bechors were not Roy to be there. They weren't Roy to be the Bechors. Why? Because either they were Balei Mum, and even though at Har Sinai they got healed from all their Mumin, from all their blemishes, but they came back right after the Akedah, all those blemishes came back. So everything came back. So there were some people like that. There might have been some other people, for whatever reason, they weren't able to be Bechors. So altogether, all the people who could serve in the Beis HaMikdash was out of Bnei Yisrael, 22,273, out of Bnei Levi, 300. That's a possibility. That's a very good possibility. However, it's still a little strange. So I say the following. I gotta find a raya for this. I found somewhat of a raya from a Chassam Sofer. I don't know what his Makor was, and I have to check up where the Chassam Sofer got it from. I've never seen it in Gemaras. I've never heard of it in Midrashim. So it must be somewhere. Who says the Bechors were from all Klal Yisrael? Maybe the Bechors were only from Shevet Reuven. Maybe the Bechors were out of all of Shevet Reuven, which had a tremendous amount of people. I mean, altogether, Reuven, the people from 20 to 60, was altogether 46,500 people between the ages of 20 and 60. That's not including under 20, and that's not including over 60. So put it all together, maybe it's like 150,000 men. Let's say it's 150,000 men altogether, maybe 175,000 men. Out of 175,000, it's possible to be able to have 22,273. Now, why Shevet Reuven? Because Shevet Reuven is the Bechor. When we say that there were Bechors that served before the Levium came around, that the Bechors were in charge and the Bechors were the ones who were doing the Avoda in the Mishkan. What does that mean? What Bechors are we talking about? Are we talking about the Bechors of all of Klal Yisrael? Are we talking about just the Bechors of the Bechor of Shevet Reuven? That could be the only thing. Yosef got the Bechor when it came to Nachwa. However, there's a specific pasuk that when it comes to real Bechor status, you can never take it away even from a Ben Snua, from the son of a hated woman. You can't take it away from Reuven. And throughout this parsha, Reuven is the Bechor Yisrael. Reuven's always known as the Bechor Yisrael. He's always the Bechor. What is he the Bechor for? He's the Bechor to be able to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. So it's possible that the 22,273 was only in Shevet Reuven, but not in everybody else. My Pella is that if that's true, how come nobody says that? Why wouldn't anybody say that? It seems to be the most... that would be a very big Kiddush. You'd have to say that somewhere. 22,273 out of, let's say, 150,000 comes out to be about what? 1/8?
1/7.
It's 25,000 times 4 times 6. It's 1 out of every 6. Which makes sense. 1 out of every 6 people is Bechor. That already I can hear. Oh, 1 out of every 6 people, I can definitely hear that. That's the idea behind it. I don't have a good answer for that though, and I just want to tell you guys the very end, the very last line. The girl had to have been done min ha-shamayim. Says the Meshach Chochma, you can prove it from Perek Gimel Pasuk Nun. This is a nice little Shabbos board. Perek Gimel Pasuk Nun. The Pasuk says the following. Me'eis Bechor b'nei Yisrael lo'kach ha-zakesach ha-misha v'shishim v'shloshim eos v'adla b'shekel ha-kodesh. From the Bechors of B'nai Yisrael, they took the 5 shekel kesef. They took the 5 shekel kesef from those Bechors of B'nai Yisrael. Says the Meshach Chochma, wait a second. Some of those Bechoros might have been little kids. How'd the little kids get money? There were 22,273 Bechoros. 22,000 of them were fine and didn't have to pay 5 shekel kesef. 273 of them had to pay 5 shekel kesef, and they did a goral, they did a lottery, they put their hands inside, and 273 of them had to pay 5 shekel kesef. Those guys were picked by the lottery, they had to pay 5 shekel kesef. Those 273 guys, if they were little kids, they weren't going to pay the 5 shekel kesef. Who's going to pay it? Their fathers were. Kadosh Baruch Hu was misabe, but Kadosh Baruch Hu made sure that the people who picked up the ones to say to pay 5 shekel kesef were all over the age of 20 and all people who had 5 shekel kesef on them. And thus they were able to pay. Thus, me'is kol bechor, me'is bechor b'nei Yisrael, only from the bechor, not from their fathers, but from the bechor themselves. Lakachas hakesef, they took the kesef. So we see that the girl was straight out from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It was dafka from the bechor b'nei Yisrael. All right, guys, we're going to stop with that, Rabbi Schechter.
Yeah.
Stop with that, guys. Have